Our morning scripture is taken from Psalm 96, and I'm reading from the Clear Word Bible. Let's sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole world sing praises to him. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell the good news every day that he has saved us from our sins. Declare his glory to the world and tell of his mighty acts to everyone. The Lord our God is great and greatly to be praised. We honor him above all other gods. Those gods are only idols, but the Lord, our living God, made the heavens. Glory and majesty surround him. Beauty and power fill his sanctuary. Give praise to the Lord, O people of the earth. Tell of his glory and power. Give him the honor due his name and bring an offering when you come to his holy temple. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Bow down before him with awe and respect. Tell the nations, the Lord is king. He has made the earth, and no one can move it out of its place. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the oceans roar with laughter, along with everything in the sea. Let the trees in the woods and fields wave their branches and shout for joy. For the Lord will come to judge the world with righteousness and his people with truth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Just in case you don't know me, I'm Allison Roosh Hansen, also known as Lissy, and Dale and Shirley Roosh are my parents. And this is my husband Jeremy and my good friend Christy Nye, and we are come from Napa to sing and play for you. We aren't going to have words, unfortunately. Anytime you know the song and you just feel like singing, please do. We love that. We love to hear you sing. This is What Child Is This?
As far as possible, would you please kneel? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with our meager gifts and thank you for the great gift that you have given us in your Son. We ask that you be here in our worship service as we bring praise and glory to your name. We thank you for the decision of Rachel and Annalise and the week past, Florencia Sabao, in dedicating their lives to you. And we take the challenge and the commitment that Pastor Stephen has issued, that each of us as church and family will support these young kids in their new walk with Thee, as the devil is very active and will seek to discourage them or to distract them. We lift them up in prayer and will continue to lift them up in prayer. We remember our church family, those who are ill and cannot be here today. We lift up the family of Michelle Gustin. Her father is suffering with prostate cancer, and the cancer is advancing. And we just pray for mercy. We pray that he and his family will be able to make appropriate decisions so that he can be comfortable. And we just pray that, most importantly, his heart is given to Thee and that his calling and election is sure. Bless this church service and everything that is done and said here. And we pray for Pastor Stephen as he's worshiping with the Spanish group, and that they will receive a special blessing there. And please pour out your Holy Spirit, and we long for the day when we will behold you face to face. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
So good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I know that every single person here has experienced some really tough things. Probably there are a number of you who are going through something really difficult right now. And often we're tempted to say to God, how could this be your will? This is a mistake. But if we can hang on to the hand of the Lord and trust Him, in spite of the hard things that are happening to us, because He is God, He can take that bad thing, that difficult thing, and He can turn it into a blessing for you. And you may not see it, but if you can trust Him, it will become a blessing. And He is weaving a tapestry of each of our lives. And we just have to trust Him to do it right. And this morning, I'd like to read a story from Patricia Polacco called A Christmas Tapestry. There are those who say there is no balance in the universe and that all things happen randomly, without purpose. Take, for instance, one Jonathan Jefferson Weeks. He was most upset that his family came all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, when his father accepted the position of pastor at the New Baptist in Detroit. Even though their new home was on the outskirts, it was still Detroit. Nothing like Tennessee. What possible good reason could there be for leaving home and coming here? Jonathan Jefferson Weeks' father's church in Memphis had been so beautiful, new, and gleaming. Everyone had loved to come to his father's services, and Jonathan loved his school. He had just made it on the soccer team, and even though he was a PK, preacher's kid, his friends there didn't treat him any differently than anyone else. Here in Detroit, Michigan, his father's new church was practically falling down. It was rickety and old, and the parsonage was right next door. Here, everything screamed, PK. Why did we come here, Daddy? Beth asked her father at dinner one night. The church looks awful. Nobody even comes to services. The deacon sent your father here because this little church is in such need of new life, Jonathan's mother said. Your father made our church in Memphis into something beautiful, didn't he? You should have seen it when we first arrived there. Couldn't have been as bad as this, Jonathan said. Oh, but it was, Jonathan. It was worse, his father smiled. Their parents took them into the living room and pulled out a photo album from one of the packing boxes. Jonathan and Beth couldn't believe their eyes. Their father was right. The Tennessee church had been worse, far worse. How did you do it, Dad? Jonathan asked. Just the way I'm going to do it here. But I need both of you to help me. There's the hard work that it's going to take to repair and rebuild this church, but I'll also need you to be cheerful and brave. When you see what we're going to do to this church, your spirits will be lifted. Beth and Jonathan tried to smile. I predict that by, let's see, this very Christmas, the church will be something that we will all be proud of. Their father said, when it is finished, people will come. You'll see. Even though Beth and Jonathan missed Memphis, they threw themselves into the tasks that were assigned to them. For that whole summer, they both helped clear out trash, cut back brushes, mow the lawns, and plant bulbs for the next spring. They scrubbed floors, washed walls, and even helped with the painting. When school started, they were so involved with the rebuilding of the church, they didn't even miss their old friends. They were now making new ones. By fall, not only was the church looking better, but services were getting more and more crowded. Jonathan's father was just what this neighborhood needed. Folks were very friendly now, and everyone was eager to help. Even Jonathan's new classmates came to help paint. It seemed that everything that the neighbors and friends and family did was turning the church into a beautiful place.
Peace.
As fall stretched into winter, the church was almost finished. Jonathan's father was right. It would be perfect for Christmas. "Here, Dad," Jonathan said as he handed up a loaded paintbrush to his father on the stepladder one December day. Pastor Weeks dabbed the last spot of paint on the sacristy wall. "There. Now the artist can paint the wonderful scene we've planned," he said. "It's going to be a glorious painting of our Lord." Jonathan could hardly wait to see the painting, and it would be done in time for Christmas Eve. Jonathan walked over to the window and watched the snow steadily falling outside. "I've heard that a blizzard may be coming, Dad, and here in Michigan, a blizzard can be real bad." "I've heard that too, but the parsonage is warm and cozy, and so is our new church," Pastor Weeks said as he hugged Jonathan. "It won't bother us at all." That next week brought the worst snow that had been seen in Detroit for 25 years. One morning, Mr. Brown, the caretaker, knocked at the parsonage door. He looked full of dread. "Pastor, come quickly." Jonathan, Beth, and their parents rushed next door. As they entered the church, they all gasped. A dark water stain covered the sacristy wall, right where the painting of our Lord was to be. "Ice built up on the edge of the roof and held back water," Mr. Brown said sadly. "Standing water that ran into the building and down the sacristy wall." "How can this be happening?" Mrs. Weeks cried. "The artist we commissioned to do the painting was going to start tomorrow." "Isn't there anything we can do?" the pastor asked Mr. Brown. "Well, we can chip the ice to let out the standing water on the roof." He lightly pushed at the watery wall. There was a huge crack, a rush of water, and a piece of plaster fell with a thud. "Dad!" Jonathan cried out. "Now there's a big ugly hole in the wall, right where everybody will see it. I even see the wooden slats." "I know a plasterer, Mr. Zucker. He'll be able to fix it for us," Mr. Brown said. "Before Christmas Eve?" Jonathan asked, full of hope. "No," Mr. Brown said. "This here wall needs a while to dry out first. The plastering probably can't be done until spring." "I knew something would spoil our Christmas," Jonathan cried. Now, I'll call Mr. Zucker anyway. He may have a different solution," Mr. Brown added softly. Later that night, Reverend Weeks sat at the edge of Jonathan's bed. "I miss home," Jonathan cried. "I know you believe God always has a plan, but what plan could have brought us here?" Jonathan sobbed. "We worked so hard, and then God sent a blizzard, I don't understand. Well, son, although we don't always understand, the universe unfolds as it should, his father said as he rocked the boy in his arms. Tomorrow will be another day, and perhaps things won't seem so bleak when you wake up to a new morning. Then he kissed the boy goodnight and closed the door. The next morning, Jonathan awoke to a cold snap and freezing snow. His mother asked his father and him to drive to Detroit to pick up Christmas decorations that she had ordered. Jonathan didn't want to go. He felt so bad about the church wall. What good would decorations do? Then, as if the damage to the church wasn't bad enough, the battery was dead in the family car. "It's all right, Jonathan. We can take the bus." Jonathan's face fell. The slow old bus all the way downtown and back? Why do we need decorations? The church is ruined. Everybody will just sit and look at a hole in the wall, Jonathan said as they boarded the bus. Downtown, Jonathan and his father slogged through freezing snow. The wind stung their faces. After they had picked up the decorations, they stepped into an alley to get out of the bitter wind. It wasn't an alley, really, because it was lined by odd little shops, antiques mostly. Jonathan and his father leaned against one of the windows and caught their breath for a moment. Jonathan turned toward the window, and that's when he saw it. There was the most beautiful-looking piece of cloth that Jonathan had ever seen. "Dad, look!" Jonathan pulled his father to see. "Isn't it magnificent?" his father said. "Wait, if that cloth is big enough, couldn't we buy it and hang it over the hole in the wall?" Jonathan pleaded. "The colors even look like Christmas." "Sorry, son, I only have $15 and a little bit change for the bus. That cloth looks like it would cost much more than I can afford." He looked in the boy's eyes, so disappointed now. "Well, we can at least go in and look." The shopkeeper spread the beautiful cloth out on a table. "Look, Jonathan, hand-stitched embroidery," Pastor Weeks said as he gazed at the cloth. "And it's the perfect size, Dad, see?" Jonathan said as he touched it. Pastor Weeks looked up. "How much is it?" he asked timidly. "I've had that old piece here for over a year. For you, Pastor, I'll make a deal. How about $15? "Well, that would be fine, perfectly fine." Pastor Weeks beamed as the storekeeper wrapped the beautiful tapestry in brown paper. "Jonathan, you had an inspired idea," his father said to him as they made their way to the bus stop. Jonathan and his father waited and waited at the bus stop. The wind burned as it stirred up waves of crystal snow. Pastor Weeks stepped out into the street and leaned to see if the bus was coming, but there was no sign of it. "Do you think the weather is so bad they've stopped the bus service?" Jonathan asked his dad. "No, it's just late. I'm sure it's just late," his father reassured. Jonathan shivered with a bitter cold. "It's always late," a voice came out of the white, misty snow. There on the bench sat an old lady. "The bus is always late," she said, again as she motioned toward town. Pastor Weeks smiled at her. Jonathan tried to stand behind his father out of the bitter wind. "In my country, winters are worse than this, like a razor the wind cuts. I have hot tea in my thermos and some raisin cookies, too," she said as she motioned them to sit with her. "Have some with me. I would like nothing more this day than to share a little warm tea with you and your boy." Jonathan looked at his father. "Please," he whispered. "We're much obliged, ma'am," Pastor Weeks said as he tipped his hat. The hot tea and cookies made the wind seem to disappear. "How far do you have to go today? That is, if the bus ever gets here," Jonathan asked the lady. "Well, first the 52, then two transfers before I'll be home," she answered. "Ma'am, if this bus comes, the way is shorter to my house," Pastor Weeks said. "I have to drop off this package at my church, but I have a car there. By now, the battery is charged. I would be pleased indeed to take you home in return for your kindness." "In this cold, I will accept. I surely will," she said with a broad smile. "If the bus ever comes," the three of them said in unison, then laughed. The bus finally did come, and the three of them rode through a light snow to Pastor Weeks' church to drop off the package. Mrs. Weeks made more hot tea and shared some special cakes, too. "Can we put up the cloth, Dad, before we go, just to see what it will look like?" Jonathan pleaded. He could hardly wait. "I'm in no hurry," the old woman smiled. Jonathan and his father hung the cloth right over the gaping hole. "Our Christmas tapestry," Jonathan announced. The old lady gasped. "Where did you get this?" she asked breathlessly. She looked as pale as snow. "Well, from an antique store just before we met you," Jonathan said to her.
Secret battles inside our minds. Who can last? God, we need your strength to fight. Your light to guide us through the night. You're our only chance. Messiah. Messiah, Messiah, save us. Run, I want to run to your open hand, but Father, I can barely stand on my own. The children of Abraham, we're reaching out for the promised land, for our home. Messiah, 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 save us. Messiah, Messiah.
The old lady walked up to the cloth, took out a pair of glasses, and looked at it closely. "I made this," she said in a whisper. Tears streamed down her face. "In Germany, almost 60 years ago, I sewed it with my own hands." She held the cloth with her gnarled fingers. "My applique, my family symbols there. Do you see, child?" "Are you sure?" Pastor Weeks said. This was impossible. She lifted one of the corners, looked, then sighed. "Those are my initials." Jonathan could see three letters. "I stitched them there myself when I was about to become a bride." Pastor Weeks started to take the tapestry down. "Surely then you should have this blessed cloth." The woman thought for a moment, then moved away. "No, here it belongs. Somehow it has made a journey all the way from Germany. It is meant to be here on your wall, in this place, in this time. I can feel it." Her voice trailed off. She took her seat again and sipped her tea. "Many years ago when I was married, this was used as my wedding chupa, the canopy over me and my beloved. Then it was the coverlet on our marriage bed. If there had been children, they would all have been wrapped in this to be named." Her voice trailed off again. Then her jaw tightened. "But then the Nazis came. My people were rounded up, herded like animals. The SS came first for our neighbors, and finally for us." "What happened?" Jonathan asked as he squeezed his father's hand. "When they came, my young husband was torn from my arms. We were separated. All the women and children were thrown into one railroad car, the men and boys into another. I shall never forget his sweet eyes, the way he looked at me. I never saw him again. We were all sent to concentration camps." She pulled up her sleeve and showed a row of faded blue numbers on the inside of her lower arm.
Touch his face. Are you part? that glorious holy night. I wonder what Christmas in heaven is like. Snow falling down on the streets of gold, or the mansions all covered in white? Are you singing with angels, silent night, silent night? Oh, I wonder what Christmas in heaven is like.
I'm speechless. No words can describe, Pastor Weeks said as the whole family leaned toward the lady. Jonathan beamed as he looked into his father's face. Then he hugged the old woman. Would you stay for prayer services tonight? Pastor Weeks suddenly asked, and have supper with us too? I'm honored you ask, but I am not of your faith, the old woman said. Tonight I will say my own prayers. Light the menorah, and share some of your lovely tea cakes with my cats. But another time, I would love to share a feast with you. Do you have family to share your holidays? Pastor Weeks worried. No, husband. I never married again. But I do have nieces and nephews here in Detroit. We shall cherish this wonderful tapestry, and even if our wall is repaired, we shall keep this hanging here to commemorate your memories, dear lady, Pastor Weeks whispered. The whole family drove her home. And then it was Christmas Eve. There was to be a pageant. Jonathan was going to be a shepherd in the procession of the Christ child. Beth and their mother was practicing their hymns for the choir. The service was to commence promptly at 6:00. That morning, there was a knock on the front door. Mr. Brown had brought the plasterer to inspect the damage. We didn't expect you to come on such short notice, and especially on Christmas Eve, Pastor Weeks said as he shook the man's hand. Zucker. Hoin Kim Zucker. The old man said, for me, it is the Festival of Lights. I live alone, so no one will miss me today, Mr. Zucker said with a warm smile. The damage is, Reverend Weeks said as they all entered the church together. He pulled the tapestry back so the old man could see the hole in the wall. Mr. Zucker put on his glasses and inspected the damage very carefully. This won't be difficult, not difficult at all, he said. You do need to let the wall dry a bit, but I can make it look like new. I'm glad to hear that. We were also worried that the damage was structural, the pastor said. He let the tapestry cascade back in front of the hole. The old man staggered back. Where did you get this? Where? Right here in Detroit, Jonathan tried to explain. It couldn't possibly be, Mr. Zucker interrupted. Couldn't be what? Jonathan asked.
Way up in the sky, little lamb.
pride in the old country, Mr. Zucker said softly. She made something exactly like this for our wedding. Every stitch and pattern, all the same. Mr. Zucker started to cry. But she was taken by the Nazis. We all were, he said breathlessly. We were herded like sheep into boxcars and taken to camps. Work camps, they called them, but they were a place of death. I never saw her again. She did not survive that place. Jonathan looked in astonishment at his father and mother. Did she embroider her initials on the cloth? Pastor Weeks asked. Why, yes, she did. How did you know that? Mr. Zucker asked. Jonathan pulled up the lower corner. Mr. Zucker started sobbing. R-H-Z. Those are her initials. Rachel Hannah Zucker, the old man said as he collapsed into the first pew. Mr. Zucker, she's alive. She was just here 3 days ago. We know right where she is, Jonathan said as he hugged Mr. Zucker. The Weeks family drove like the wind with their precious cargo, Mr. Zucker. When they arrived in front of the red brick apartment house where the old lady lived, the old man flew to the outside door, then climbed 3 flights of stairs as if he were floating. Jonathan and Beth were out of breath. Mr. Zucker stopped in front of number 22. He waited for the longest time, and then he knocked. The door opened. There the old woman stood, puzzled. Her eyes widened. Then, her eyes brimming, she took his face in her hands. Is that you, my beloved? I have waited a long time. My Rachel, was all Mr. Zucker could manage to say. Then a sound came from both of them that Jonathan knew he would never hear the likes of again. It was the sound of joy. Then they hugged and cried and kissed each other so tenderly that Jonathan didn't know why, but he felt tears in his own eyes.
Sent you to me. spent praying, who will save? But who
Later that night, at the Christmas Eve services, the candles were radiant. Their flickering light made the tapestry shimmer as if it were enchanted. Maybe it is, Jonathan thought as he smiled to himself. He couldn't take his eyes off it. The pageant was beautiful. The church was full of people singing praises. The lights on the Christmas tree reminded Jonathan of the twinkling stars in the night sky. Jonathan Jefferson Weeks thought his heart would burst at the pure joy of the season and the wonder of all the events that had taken place. Now he knew exactly why they had moved to Detroit when they did. He knew why the plaster fell, why the car wouldn't start, why it was so bitter and cold that he and his father had shared tea with a lonely old woman. It was all so seamless, woven so perfectly. Woven as beautiful and surely as Jonathan's radiant cloth that hung at the front of his church. It was all truly a Christmas tapestry.
Thank you to the Rouge Hansen family and Christy Nye for the inspiring story and the beautiful praise music. At this time, we'll have our benediction. Please bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this very high Sabbath. It's a high Sabbath. Every Sabbath we can worship and praise you and take a rest from our daily activities. We want to go from this place with the blessing that we've received today, to hold it in our hearts and to live it with those that we come in contact with so that they can see something special in us. And we look forward to Christmas in heaven. Bless us and keep us safe, and we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.